Hey, thanks for checking out today's episode of the Lake Effect Podcast. My name is James Prophet, and today I'm going to be sitting down talking to Kimberly Kaufman, Executive Director of the Black Swamp Bird Observatory, about the work BSBO does, and also an upcoming event that happens every May, the biggest week in American birding. Hey, Kimberly, thank you for meeting me today.
Hey, James, I'm thrilled to be part of your podcast.
And you are the big boss at Black Swamp Bird Observatory, is that correct?
I'm the head cheerleader, for
sure. Okay, well, that's a good job. That's a big job. What is BSBO?
Well, Black Swamp Bird Observatory, on paper, is a nonprofit organization. We were founded in 1992 by a group of scientists that were studying bird migration. But in practice, what we are is one of the most effective nonprofits doing work to connect people with the joy of birds and birding.
Okay.
And help them understand their role in habitat conservation.
When did you begin?
A long time ago. I've been with the Bird Observatory for more than 25 years.
Okay.
So I wasn't one of the founding members, but very close to that.
Okay. I understand your husband knows a little bit about birds also.
Yeah, he's coming along. His knowledge. Yeah, Ken. My husband, Ken, is one of the world's leading bird experts. He's traveled all over the world to every continent, written more than a dozen books, and he's an incredible bird artist. And if you can't tell, I really, really like that guy.
Black Swamp Bird Observatory is located on about within a mile or so of the water on Lake Erie, the southern shore. Why is that an important area for birds or birding?
Well, specifically, we are located just inside the entrance to McGee Marsh Wildlife Area. It's Ohio Department of Natural Resources Division of Wildlife Property, so it's very accessible to the public, and our little headquarters is just inside the entrance. So we are the gateway to birding McGee Marsh Wildlife Area. We are not officially affiliated with the State Wildlife Agency, but we're great partners.
Right.
And we really bring all of the different parts of our mission to the table to provide services for birders. And the agency does a brilliant job of managing the habitat, keeping it safe, making it accessible. And we bring birders to Northwest Ohio from all over the world to visit that marsh.
I do seem to recall seeing you guys hanging out all over the place with ODNR folks.
Yeah, it's a great partnership, but we work with state wildlife agencies, the federal wildlife agencies, our great partners and neighbors at Ottawa National Wildlife Refuge, which is the federal wildlife agency, but we work with state parks, county parks, metro parks, really any partner that wants to be part of birding from, you know, those are the conventional partners you would think that we would be partnering with. But we also work with chambers of commerce, convention and visitors bureaus, rotary clubs, just doing everything we can to raise awareness of the value of habitat conservation from an economic standpoint and a biological standpoint.
When you say habitat conservation in our neck of the woods, is that mostly marsh related or wetlands related, or are there other things going on?
Oh, I mean, our office is located on the edge of this incredible marsh, but all of the habitats that birds need, from grassland birds to water birds, the migratory songbirds that when they're passing through here, what they're looking for, the prime habitat for those birds, is wooded habitat right on the lakeshore.
Okay.
So it really encompasses all of the different kinds of habitats that we're very fortunate to have in Northwest Ohio.
There's an event that happens every year, the biggest week in American birding. That's an event that you guys operate, is that correct?
That's right.
Is it really the biggest week in American birding?
It really, really is.
No kidding.
It's, well, first of all, it's a week that lasts 10 days.
Okay.
So it is the biggest week ever. So the event is timed to coincide, it's in early May, timed to coincide with the peak of songbird migration. And we launched the festival in 2010. But the festival was really part of a conservation business plan that the Bird Observatory spent more than 3 years building. And that was sort of this is the end run. We want to launch a festival, but first we did all of the legwork to get the region ready, outreach to businesses, to all of our partners so that they knew what services to provide to birders when they're here visiting. It's different than what other tourist audience, you know, is looking for. And within 4 years, it was the biggest birding festival in the country.
Really?
And it now represents one of the largest gatherings of birders anywhere in the world.
No kidding. During a 10-day period?
During that 10-day stretch, yeah.
Okay.
And we're very proud of this festival and the way it enhances the quality of people's lives. And the economic impact that it brings to Northwest Ohio is enormous.
I see in magazines and on the internet, some places in Africa, Central America, South America, and they have these crazy looking exotic birds with amazing colors. How can Northwest Ohio compete with a place like that for birders?
It's really not a competition. Every place that you go, any place that you go, there are birds. And yes, there are spectacular birds that you can find in Central and South America. But what's really cool about spring migration and fall migration in Northwest Ohio is that we share birds. These are birds that are vaulting across continents. So these little migratory birds, some of them are wintering in Central and South America, particularly warblers. We've dubbed this the warbler capital of the world. These little birds are hanging out in Central and South America. They're coming this way to breed. They're mostly going to Canada or Alaska. So they really bring all of us together because there are birds during spring and fall migration, but during the winter, they belong to the people of Central and South America. And also, just even, this is what's so great, James. One of the things I love most about the biggest week is that people are visiting here literally from all over the world. Every continent has been represented now in registration. We had someone register from Antarctica this year.
Really?
So every continent
it's
now
like represents. Like a scientist from one of the stations?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'll be standing at our office at McGee Marsh when people from Australia or Japan or New Zealand or Peru come into our office, and when they see a northern cardinal, a bird that's in our life every day, their minds are blown at the beauty of this bird, or a red-winged blackbird, birds that they've never seen, that we are so fortunate to have here. So the birds that we have in Northwest Ohio are worthy of celebrating, too. Are they as spectacular as a resplendent Quetzal? Maybe not, but we have really great birds here, too.
Is it just held at McGee Marsh, or is it
no, it's
bigger?
It's really a very decentralized event, and that's by strategy, that's by design. We leverage the incredible birding experience of the boardwalk at McGee Marsh Wildlife Area. We've really built this into one of the most iconic birding destinations on the continent. Throughout the festival, we have accessible field trips every day. Last year, we had one of our keynotes was a blind birder.
Really?
He's been blind since birth, and he enjoys birds so much, just birding by sound. We have field trips every day that no matter how you enjoy birding, whether it's from a wheelchair with your ears by the sounds of birds or with a camera, there's truly something every day that welcomes everyone into the birding community.
But say, for instance, someone goes out to the boardwalk, there's a bunch of birds around, but they don't know what they are. How will they know what they're looking at?
This event does so much. There are so many things we could focus on. But the real beauty of it is that it brings people together from all over the world and unifies them from this common love of birds and birding. And there's not that many things that bring that many people together that unify us that way. You can go out to the boardwalk at McGee Marsh or a lot of the other birding places from Port Clinton to Toledo, metro parks, county parks, state parks. And the birders that are here are so knowledgeable and so friendly. And when you think about it, James, it makes sense. It's in our human nature that if we find something beautiful or exciting, you want to share it with somebody.
Of
you
course.
Want to show them or tell them about it. And birding is no different. So you'll have crowds of people out there who are so excited, hardly any birds get missed because there are so many eyes and ears out there looking for birds and sharing them with people. You'll see people out there that don't even have binoculars on the McGee Marsh Boardwalk, and the birds are so close, so confiding, so accessible, and oblivious to people. All those birds are trying to do is eat and get across that lake to their nesting grounds. So it's the perfect opportunity to come out and experience birding in this fun and positive and unintimidating way. Birding is for everyone, and that is a theme of the Biggest Week in American Birding, that anybody is welcome into the birding community, and we make an intentional effort. We knock ourselves out to make it clear to everyone, you are welcome, you are loved, you are safe here. And breaking down that stereotype is really important to us. And when you look at birding during the Biggest Week in American Birding and the birding community, it looks like the world.
Right, I can imagine.
There are people from every race, all walks of life, every socioeconomic group. It just doesn't matter. If you're interested in birds, this is a happy, safe, welcoming place for you.
What can you tell me, what's new in this area, bird-wise, in the past few years that you've, what's big or what's new or what's changing for the good or the bad?
Because habitat conservation is really the focus of our mission, what's really exciting is seeing that H2 Ohio funds and Great Lakes Restoration Initiative funds.
That's the big Ohio program
for marshes and
wetlands.
Okay. And everyone working together to combat these algal blooms on Lake Erie has resulted in more habitat restoration going on than I've seen in my entire career working up here in almost 30 years.
Do you find that when folks that may not be outdoors types are exposed or have the opportunity to get involved or get up close and personal with nature or wildlife, that that changes their outlook in the future or their future actions?
I know this is going to sound like hyperbole, but birding is good for your health. Time outdoors, no matter what pace you go birding, some people go hardcore. They're out there running to see the next bird. And some people, it's more like just a casual stroll to look at birds. They might not even want to use binoculars. But studies have shown that when you're outside birding or just even walking, your blood pressure is lowered, you take deeper breaths. The Alzheimer's Association at one point was recommending birding for good brain health.
Really?
So time spent out looking at birds, if your focus is birds, eventually you're noticing everything. Butterflies, you know, reptiles and amphibians, the wildflowers that are out there. And it just really enhances the quality of your life in so many ways. So the Biggest Week, a lot of people know about Bird Week or the Biggest Week in American Birding, but fewer people know that Black Swamp Bird Observatory is the nonprofit that created this event, that hosts it and organizes it. And we know a lot about migratory birds at Black Swamp Bird Observatory, what species are arriving when. So we wove that knowledge of the timing of migration into all of our marketing efforts to promote the region. And quite frankly, we created a birding tourism season that simply didn't exist before we launched the Biggest Week in American Birding. And we've worked incredibly hard to raise awareness among the region, business partners, elected officials, all the decision makers about why this is important for Northwest Ohio. More than 350 bird species have been documented in the region.
No kidding.
Yeah, but in spring, and that's how important the region is for all kinds of different birds. But in spring, and again, there's many, many different types of birds that come through, from shorebirds to raptors and waterfowl, but warblers. This is a family of birds that are very tiny. They're very colorful. They sing really interesting songs. And there's about, if you work really hard during spring migration, you can see 37 different species, from magnolia warblers or blackburnian warblers, black and white warblers, black-throated blue, American redstart. They have really interesting names too. But what we know is that there's a very predictable pattern to migration. And this is something the Bird Observatory really pioneered in this region. We know that early on, the yellow-rumped warblers and palm warblers are coming through. Then in the second wave and the third wave, there are different species coming. So we can say to a birder, if you really want to see a black-throated blue warbler or a Connecticut warbler, this is when you should call in sick and get up to the lakeshore. And we can watch weather patterns and say, okay, this is a good southwest wind. The conditions are right. We're probably going to see a big arrival of birds overnight. And I say overnight because these little songbirds, a lot of them migrate at night.
Really?
It's so fascinating. So if humans could fly, we could migrate the way that ducks and geese do, because the adults show the young the way and they migrate during the day using visual landmarks. But it becomes so much harder to wrap your brain around when you talk about songbirds. So many of these little warblers are going to hatch out in Canada and Alaska, some of them clear up in the Yukon Territory, and they instinctively know when to migrate and where to migrate to. The adults don't show. There are some theories, but I don't know that anyone has really come up with a solid answer to that. It's just magic. That's what it is. It
sounds that way.
It's magic. And for some people, it's just really a spiritual thing, honestly. And these little birds we focus on spring migration, but in fall, what some of these songbirds do is just astonishing. There's a little warbler called a black pole warbler. These are way up in the Yukon Territory, some of them nest. And some night when the winds are right, that little bird just instinctively knows it's time to go. And they head south and then east. Lots of black pole warblers will come through Northwest Ohio, through our research station, big, big numbers. And migration is never just a straight north and south situation. These birds, it's much more complex than that. But these black pole warblers that weigh about what a ballpoint pen weighs, leave the nest, come through Northwest Ohio, and then turn sharply east. And when they hit the eastern seaboard, they'll double their body weight, and these tiny little birds will take off over the open ocean and be on the wing for 80 hours.
Heading where?
Some of them going all the way to the tip of Brazil in a single flight. A bird that weighs about what a ballpoint pen weighs. And so the more you know about birds, it's not just that they're beautiful and they sing amazing songs. It's what they accomplish that just is so moving and inspiring, and it just keeps you going out there on this amazing treasure hunt.
Just last week, I took a cell phone photo of a couple sandhill cranes that were less than 70 feet from East Harbor Road. Is that something new? I've also heard about pelicans in the past decade or so, both of those birds. Is that something that's new to the area, or what can you tell me about new birds?
Not exactly new, but coming back.
Okay.
Sandhill cranes that's a species that was really pretty much gone from Northwest Ohio.
In other words, they'd been here previously,
exactly. That's a native species to Northwest Ohio, but just habitat loss, a lot of other issues. Those birds were pretty much gone from the area.
How long ago
Not so long ago. I mean, when I first started coming up here, in a relatively short time, 25 years ago, it was really unusual to see a sandhill crane in Northwest Ohio, in the western basin of Lake Erie, in this area. And now, that's another benefit of the wildlife agencies working really hard to bring those birds back to the area, and they are now breeding again in the Northwest Ohio marshes.
And they're hard to miss too, aren't they?
They are. They're big, stately birds. The sound, I hope your listeners will just Google search sandhill crane call, and it is a sound of the wilderness. It's the most incredible. When you see a flock of sandhill cranes go over, it's incredible. But when you hear them, it just, I don't know, stirs your soul.
What about pelicans?
In the
past decade or so, I feel like a lot of pelicans have been coming in more and more every year, maybe.
So there have been historically some pelicans in the region. It's not a new species, but they were gone. They were completely gone from Lake Erie, from the Great Lakes. And now they have come roaring back. That's on their own. That's an expansion of their range coming back into this area. And pretty sure that last year was the first confirmed breeding on islands in the U.S. Great Lakes. Yeah, and they're really prolific breeders. So we should see populations of American white pelicans continue to grow. And what an incredible sight it is for those massive birds.
Yes,
when they go overhead, big white birds, extensive black wingtips, you can't miss them. And it's really exciting to see them coming back.
I read a few articles recently about declining duck populations in certain species here in the past year or so. Is this an important area for migrating waterfowl like ducks?
It's important for so many different families of migratory birds, from waterfowl to shorebirds to songbirds and raptors. we have a bottleneck here where a lot of birds are concentrated into
that?
Because of the habitat. And if you look at how habitat has disappeared, and there are a lot of factors in it, James, from the topography of land that kind of funnels birds into this region, but the habitat plays a huge role in it. For songbirds, migratory songbirds, those birds, when they hit the lakeshore, you know, they're not like waterfowl. They don't swim, they don't even float. So if you weigh less than an ounce, which most of these little songbirds do.
That's like a nickel.
Yeah, it's less than most ballpoint pens. These birds are reluctant to cross any large body of water before they rest and refuel. Most of them are eating insects. And then once they build up those fat reserves, then they power across the lake. So these marshes, the wooded areas on the lakeshore are really critical. We benefit greatly from... Financially, we benefit greatly from this asset that bringing all these birders here, and not just birders, but waterfowl hunters. Hunting and fishing contribute billions of dollars to the economy.
Hunters?
Yeah, absolutely. And hunters, this might seem, I think people think we must be diametrically opposed to each other, but that couldn't be further from the truth. You know, speaking very candidly, do some birders have an ethical issue with hunting? Sure they do. Do some hunters look down with disdain on birders because they don't think they buy duck stamps? Of course they do, but there's so much common ground. We work with Ducks Unlimited to support each other in many ways, and Ducks Unlimited is an organization that has a lot of political clout, and that's what it takes to impact bird conservation at a level that actually is effective.
Kimberly, thank you so much for meeting with me today and talking about the biggest week in American birding. I certainly appreciate it, and I've learned a lot. And hopefully one day, young lady, I will see you somewhere around the lake.
You'd be better. Yeah, come out and join us, James. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining me for this edition of the Lake Effect Podcast. I'm your host and producer, James Proffitt. Our executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer. To hear more, go to wgte.org/lakeeffect. And I hope to see you somewhere around the lake.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.